Turn our attention once again to Paul's words to Pastor Titus. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. The word of the Lord. That is quite a list, isn't it? If you were here just a few Sundays ago for the afternoon special service of installation and ordination of our new pastor, you heard a much longer position description as part of the ordination rite for pastoral leaders. I remember standing myself in front of a congregation on the Sunday of my installation as a vicar, the very first time you're hearing any kind of list like that, and recognizing what you're being asked to commit to, not just in your work, but in your life and your family life. And suddenly coming to the notion of the reality that this was one of those look out, here it comes moments for the rest of your life, as long as you are willing to test your mettle from that moment on. If you take time to study the scriptures on the topic of leadership, whether that be called full-time leadership in ministry as a pastor, teacher, self, or staff minister, or some other form of ministry, or whether that be lay ministry of men and women volunteers leading in congregation, there can be no doubt that Christian leadership is very serious business. I have had opportunity, the privilege really, of being involved in recruitment of others to ministry activity, men and women, both in congregations and in parachurch organizations for a long time, most of my adult life. And for those who have never led in the context before, it is not an unusual question for them to ask. The fact that they've been leaders in other contexts of life, in the business world or in community organizations or in other contexts, to ask the obvious question, is there something that's different about Christian leadership? And the answer is extremely simple and yet so profound. The answer is yes, and the answer is the Word. No other leadership endeavor available to human beings in any other context of life has as strong a written guidance for leadership as the Bible clearly has for Christian leaders. And many Christian leaders will wander in and out from underneath that guidance in ways that aren't helpful to the Holy Christian Church, but when it's all said and done, what the Word directs them to be and to do, the Word itself is never anything but exceptionally clear in all that it has to say about Christian leadership. Take the verses of this lesson, for example. There is a spectrum of areas the perspectives on leadership here address. Work life and home life are both in the crosshairs. Personal character and professional behavior, professional demeanor are also a concern here. The standing of a leader both in the congregation, in the church at large, and out in the world is certainly also addressed. Focus of one's life and work is of particular concern. But everything here, everything you heard listed in the ordination and installation rite that is very daunting and directive as a list. All of it comes full circle in the summary contained in the last verse cited here. He or she, whoever that leader may be, must hold firmly to the trustworthy message that as it has been taught, so that he or she can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. That last verse, that is the ultimate definition of Christian leadership. We might spend time discussing how Christian leaders act, how they present themselves, how they set their priorities for their time management, how they engage people on behalf of the congregation. But all of that is a moot point if the candidate is not a man who leads with the word. Those who would lead in the Holy Christian Church must always lead with the word and through the word. It's clear here. And there's no possible compromise on the issue. Every place in the scriptures where examples of leadership by God's definition that we would label Christian leadership are presented, whether it's anecdotal presentation of leaders or whether it is actually prescription for who we should see as leaders and what we should expect from our leaders, all of them eventually, whether New Testament or Old, sooner or later make this very point. A growing and comprehensive knowledge of God's Word, an uncompromising commitment to the Word, a highly prioritized reliance on the Word as the guide and measure of everything a Christian leader is doing sets Christian leaders and leadership apart from all other forms of leadership in our world. And that leads me to a question. Are you, as a member of this faith family, aware of the fact that every single month when your parish council meets, all the deacons and the presiding elder and the pastoral staff, that at least 30 minutes at the beginning of every meeting is involved in Bible study, doctrinal conversation and discussion, and that prescribed by our governance documents, 3 months out of the year, January, September, and May, the entire time spent together, 2 hours in each of those months, are dedicated completely to this pursuit of knowledge of the Scriptures and the doctrines that the Scriptures teach and our application of them to our family of believers, to ourselves and the world in which we live. I can't imagine any leader who has participated in leadership at Faith ever saying that they did not grow spiritually in scriptural knowledge and the ability to apply scripture to themselves and others during their time participating in leadership of this congregation. This is defined and expected by scripture itself. And it should be equally expected and valued by every Christian who is a member of this faith family. So no one should ever be surprised that when our annual recruitment for leadership begins, it is regular worship and Bible study investment that takes priority as the first place those who are recruiting new leaders are looking and begin their search. I don't think you or I would really want it any other way, would we? Over recent years, I've been asked numerous times by folks that are part of our family and those that are part of the region of our church body what I'm hoping for, what I'm looking for in a new pastoral partner. And some of those conversations would get interesting as I let others tell me what their hopes, what their ideas were about his interests, his life situation, his skill set, his abilities, his demeanor and personality, background, all kinds of things. What a perfect Sunday's worth of lessons to have in front of us just weeks after our new young pastor has been installed among us. They remind us that no matter what the answers might be to all of that wishing and wondering, the Bible says the most important question of a new pastor or any other leader will always be, are you a man of God's word? And will you hold firmly to that trustworthy message? I have every confidence, as you should as well, that the assignment committee that met at our seminary back in May would not have sent us anyone who wasn't exactly that, and I believe our new pastor clearly is. If you're wondering where he is today, he was standing up in a wedding in South Dakota this weekend. But as a pastor more experienced than I would like to admit, I wonder if being a man of the word will be enough for members of any local congregation or of our faith family. There are so many other things so many Christians want their pastors to be. There are so many other voices that they hope their leaders will be listening to in church body, in community, in the world around us, and more often than we'd all like to admit, our own voices as well. So, I have found that the best and most difficult approach to pastoral leadership is narrowing the influence on my heart, my mind, my ministry service. To relegate to a lower status everything that isn't primarily from the Word and thoroughly influenced by the Word. And that's how to faithfully follow the path that Paul directs young Pastor Titus to continually walk here in these verses. And I don't believe that our new pastor has any different perspective or approach on that either. And I'm confident in that because he was trained in the same place that I was trained by a generation of professors that most of them now are younger than me as well. And that idea of the carrying on of our philosophy of ministry and our connection to the Word and our defense of confessional doctrine as a church body for generations now. The Word is so important because the Word is the source of everything we are, everything we hope for, everything we are to be in this world, and everything that will exist after this world ends. And the Word does contain things that are not of human ability to answer. The Word truly contains divine truth, objective, universal, timeless direction and definition for every element of life and truth that is objectively and eternally significant. So I pray that supporting Paul's concept, Paul's perspective presented here in our fellowship at Faith in regard to all leadership, whether that be called staff members, whether that be lay leaders in formal leadership of the congregation or other elements of congregational life, men and women, it is the only way we can know for certain every time we gather for worship, every time we gather around the Word to study, every time we interact with each other in fellowship and in service and even recreation. Whatever good purpose that we are hearing Christ speak to us through each other, speaking to us about our sin and our salvation, our eternal life, and everything else those exceptionally important concepts touch. It is the only way that you and I are ever going to know for sure that what God wants us to know is truth. What God wants us to build our individual and our corporate life upon and around is from Him and will guide us through very challenging times, times that are very blessed as well, without the rise and fall of the waves of the world around us, leading us to be uncertain about who we are and who our God is and everything in between. It is the only way we will know Him better as our only hope of forgiveness and righteousness. It is the only way we will grow in our ability to better understand the timeless truth of God and how to apply that truth to our lives as we journey to eternity with God. You look at these verses and you hear Paul telling Titus how to go about designating who the appropriate leaders are in fledgling congregations that were beginning to be scattered all over the Mediterranean, Asia Minor, and even off into Europe, and how this process was vital to those growing to the level of leadership that would be defined by the term pastor or shepherd, guiding souls, but guiding the individual congregations of Christ's Holy Christian Church as well. Recognizing together what meaningful ministry is. It's not what the world tells us it is. It's not what we look out and see as successful because numbers are gathering around the Word in other places that are feeding people things beyond the Word as well, and maybe just having that diet be a little bit of what God has to say. But rather recognizing what Paul directs here is a true commitment of leaders and people to recognizing the Word as not just central and foundational, but the whole reason that we gather, so that there will never be uncertainty or any lack of clarity regarding the forgiveness of our sins in response to the reality of our collective and individual brokenness by our sins, so that we can all equally bask in the joy of forgiveness, praise our God together in the hope of eternal life, and know for certain the things that we hear from our leaders and the things that we speak to each other are true and eternal, from God and God alone, and will mean the difference in everything we experience, but ultimately in the moment that is most important, the moment that we see our eternal God face to face. Whether we have been people of the Word, whether we have relied on that Word, whether that Word has taught us to believe and trust in Jesus as our Savior and as our guide for life in everything we endeavor, will be the difference in that moment. And that's why this is meaningful ministry. And that's why God gives us clearly in His Word, throughout His Word, the definition of what Christian leadership is, and also what it is not. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever.